We'll start by talking about protections in a national forest and not one of the ones near us. The Tongass National Forest in Alaska is a very important place and a very large one. At 17 million acres, it is the country's largest national forest. For point of comparison, that's roughly 10 times the size of the Rogue River, Klamath, or Willamette National Forests near us. The Tongass has been a big political football. President Trump removed protections for parts of the Tongass under the roadless rule. President Biden now proposes restoring those protections. The Pew Trusts are in favor of the Biden move. Ken Raitt at the Pew Trust is Project Director of U.S. Public Lands and Rivers Conservation. Thanks for joining us, Ken.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jeff.
Give us a bit of an audio map, if you would. Where in Alaska is the Tongass National Forest, and why is it such a big deal?
So Alaska is a huge state. It is the largest, and the Tongass is constitutes about half of the land in southeastern Alaska, kind of the panhandle of Alaska, if you will. People have heard of towns Juneau, Ketchikan, Sitka, Haines. All these places are generally surrounded by the Tongass National Forest. And as you said, it's 17 million acres. It is the largest national forest in the country. I mean, and here in Oregon, we've got places like the Mount Hood, the Willamette, the Umpqua, the Rogue Siskiyou, and these are important places here in Oregon. They are small by comparison to what we have up in the Tongass, and like these national forests in Oregon, the Tongass is a forest managed by the U.S. Forest Service for a range of multiple uses.
So now the President Trump exempted the Tongass from the roadless rule. Back up and give us what the story is about the roadless rule and what that exemption would do.
Yeah, sure. So this issue dates back to, actually it dates back decades. Our national forests were logged extensively in the 1970s and 1980s and the 90s. And the high amount of logging required there to be a huge road infrastructure built across our national forest lands so that the timber companies could access the public timber. Those roads were built largely with taxpayer money, and then as they were not used after the timber was extracted from areas, the road system fell into huge disrepair. The Forest Service had racked up a several billion dollar backlog of road maintenance needs by the mid-1990s. And the U.S. Congress came very close to actually zeroing out the Forest Service's road building budget. And the response by the then Clinton administration was to really take a look at how our national forests are managed. Across the nation, there are about 190 million acres of lands managed by the U.S. Forest Service, and about one-third of those lands are in pristine condition. Those are the most remote areas, the roadless lands. And the Clinton administration decided that because watersheds were failing across the national forest system, because roads were basically falling into streams, that the last thing they needed to do was to compound the problem by building new roads into roadless areas, thereby running up the roads, road maintenance deficits, and increasing damage to watersheds. And so in 2001, President Clinton signed what was then the largest conservation measure in decades to protect about 60 million acres of the roadless lands, about one-third of the lands managed by the Forest Service, roadless lands here in Oregon. It was several million acres, but in Alaska, it was about 14, 15 million acres between the Chugach and the Tongass National Forest. And basically, the roadless rule set the roadless lands aside from the construction of new roads and most forms of development. And so that happened in 2001. Since then, the issue's been litigated up and down, and in particular in the Tongass, the state of Alaska was incensed, feeling like this was overreach, despite the fact that these are public lands owned by all Americans. And litigation after litigation failed. And it took until President Trump came into office and basically rewrote the rule to exempt the Tongass. And that decision was made in October last year. And the Biden administration made it very clear from the get-go that this was something that they were going to take a look at. And in November, they announced their intention to restore the roadless rule protections for the Tongass, basically protecting those 17 million acres from new roads and from commercial logging. I think what's really interesting and important to know about the Tongass is that it's these are some of the most magnificent lands that that are in the public domain. We're talking about ancient stands of Sitka spruce, western hemlock, western red cedar, Alaska cedar, as well as salmon habitat and traditional homelands for more than a dozen Southeast Alaska tribes. In fact, about 40% of the wild salmon along the west coast are spawned in the Tongass National Forest. And so the Tongass is not just special for its trees, but for the salmon habitat that it creates, and the obviously for the associated economy of Southeast Alaska.
So a lot of important things certainly coming out of the Tongass National Forest, which we're discussing here in the exchange with Ken Raitt, Project Director on U.S. Public Lands and Rivers Conservation for the Pew Charitable Trusts. You can join our conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. This can feel a bit like ping pong to the casual observer. What does it look like to you, as close as you are to the situation, watching each president now overrule the last?
I mean, it's the ping-ponging is frustrating because the public has spoken really loudly about this issue. When President Trump took a look at the roadless rule and opened up a public process, 95% of the input favored retaining those protections. And I want to pay some special heed to the interests of the indigenous people of Southeast Alaska. There are more than a dozen tribes who have lived on these lands since time immemorial, and they were so outraged by the actions that they saw coming with the Trump administration that more than a dozen tribes filed a petition to require the Forest Service to come up with a traditional homelands conservation rule for the Tongass, so that their sacred sites, the uses that they've had in these lands for millennia are protected. And their concern is that large-scale old-growth logging is essentially destroying their culture. And so it's not just about kind of the interests of the American public, who are actually the owners of these lands, but it's also very much about the interests of indigenous people who have suffered the loss of their traditional homelands and want that to stop, and are trying to do things to get the federal government to pay heed to their interests.
So that's the indigenous people of Alaska. The political leaders of Alaska is a bit of a different story, though. The governor and lots of other political leaders like what Trump did and want to keep that in place.
Yeah, I mean, the way that this all came about was President Trump was he was flying from D.C. to Pacific Rim, and his plane had a stop in Anchorage. And during that stop, Governor Dunleavy came on board and basically asked Trump a favor. As a big Trump supporter, Governor Dunleavy asked Trump a favor, and that he initiate a process to overturn this rule. And Trump basically said, this is a done deal, I'll do this for you. And so, the decision, the public process that the Trump administration put forward was not really an honest process. They really weren't interested in hearing from the public. not guiding policymaking. And yeah, it's also the Alaska congressional delegation that wants these lands open and available for timber harvesting. It's important to realize that the fishing that I talked about drive a commercial fishing economy that accounts for about a quarter of Southeast Alaska's economy. Timber production, by contrast, only generates about 1% of Southeast Alaska's economy. And so this is really just kind of trying to look forward through the rearview mirror and thinking somehow that building a big timber economy is the path to Alaska's future. People should also be aware that the majority of the old growth logs that are extracted from the Tongass are shipped overseas without being processed here in the country. So for so many reasons, it just made no sense whatsoever to turn back the roadless protections the way the Trump administration did. He did it with the anger of the commercial fishers, 300 of whom wrote to the Trump administration saying, leave the roadless rule intact. They did it and generated anger from the tribal folks in Southeast Alaska as well as from the recreation and tourism industry in Southeast Alaska. And yes, there is a disconnect between these interests and Alaska's political apparatus that is, still trying to expand oil development in the North Slope and continuing to look forward through the rearview mirror. Now, fortunately, Jeff, we have a president who takes climate change seriously and understands the Tongass sequesters about 8% of all the carbon stored in all forests of the lower 48, and actually sequesters almost half of the carbon sequestered by all national forests. So the Tongass is a carbon sequestration storehouse, and it's in protecting, in particular, the ancient forests of the Tongass is going to be an important part of dealing with climate change during this era of climate crisis.
Ken Reid is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Project Director for U.S. Public Lands and Rivers Conservation at the Pew Charitable Trusts, which proposes or supports the proposal by the Biden administration to restore the roadless rule to the Tongass National Forest in Alaska. And you just heard the reason why the Tongass is important to the rest of us. You can join our conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Ken in Grants Pass sent some questions. He asks if the Tongass is still selling multi-decade timber harvest contracts. Is it honestly successfully regenerating harvested forest lands? And is the timber sold by the Tongass replenishing funds to the Reforestation Trust Fund that would fund reforestation of millions of acres of Forest Service plantations damaged by the recent mega fires in Oregon and California? Thanks for the questions, Ken in Grants Pass.
So that's a good question. The Forest Service does require replanting, but once that habitat, I think what I'm talking about here is the habitat for the salmon that are an important part of, a quarter of Southeast Alaska's economy. And if you cut down a forest for the trees, when you replant the trees, you don't necessarily get all of the functioning forest and its associated habitat for a very, very long time. And that's a big concern, and that's really what's driving the interests of indigenous partners and the local commercial fishing folks. Folks also need to understand that the logging, that the commercial logging on the Tongass was not a money winner for the U.S. taxpayers. And the Taxpayers for Common Sense, which is a nonpartisan research organization, found that the commercial logging program on the Tongass costs U.S. taxpayers about $20 million a year to sustain. So we're spending $20 million of taxpayer money to support a sector that produces just 1% of the economy in Southeast Alaska.
So we have another, well, let's see, Carter in Wolf Creek is on the line. I'll ask, get him to ask his own question. Hi, Carter. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Ken Raitt.
Yeah, good morning. I've been listening along, and it seems to me that what is really deficient, if a president can come in there and disrupt the legal process, that the legal process is too weak to protect. So what are the comments about that?
Yeah, executive order versus NEPA. Why don't you wait in there, Ken? NEPA being the National Environmental Policy Act.
Yeah, that's a good question, Carter. The roadless rule is essentially a regulation. In order for this not to be the most ephemeral kind of decision that an administration can make would be like a secretarial order or an executive order. Those can be overturned with the stroke of a pen. The fact that the Trump administration overturned a regulation forced them to go through a public process, and we are now in the public process. And in this public process that started on November 23rd has an open 60-day comment period that ends on January 24th. So people have a chance to write to the Forest Service and tell them what they think between now and January 24th. In order for this not to be ping-ponged at all, it would really take an act of Congress, like a change in the statute that would provide the permanent protection that really the Tongass deserves. But the recalcitrance of the Alaska congressional delegation on these issues makes that a pretty significant uphill climb. So, we are working through the administrative process, Carter, because that will at least grant us, protection for the Tongass, at least through this, through the Biden presidency, and hopefully, no matter who's president next, they'll see that these protections are important from a climate change perspective, from which is kind of obviously a global concern, from a economic perspective, a fiscal perspective, and from a justice perspective as well.
Okay, I will put up links on our website at jeffexchange.org to give people access to the ability to comment. And as you pointed that through January 24th, these are comments on the restoration of the roadless rule in the Tongass National Forest, which, yes, is bigger than the state of West Virginia. Ken Raitt, Project Director for U.S. Public Lands and Rivers Conservation at Pew Trust. Thanks for joining us on the Exchange.